Thank you for listening to The Meanderings of a Librarian. This is Season 2, Episode 2, and I'm calling this episode Take the Stairs If You Are Able. And I'm recording this in my refurnished, revamped, renovated office, thanks to my husband who repainted for me. I will be moving down into my office again. It's a delightfully lovely yellow space, and I went through everything on my desk the Marie Kondo way, took everything off, got rid of about half of it, and I'm ready to go. So here I am recording, and hopefully this sounds good. Well, take the stairs if you are able. While I was in Rome, one of the best keynote presentations was done by Professor Paul Gabriel Weston. He is a professor at the Vatican School of Librarianship in Rome. And this was one of those keynotes. I enjoyed all of them, but this one was the one that was full of epiphanies, reminders for me. And it's because he was talking about inclusion. And so this may sound strange to you. I've titled this Take the Stairs, but also in that title is If You Are Able. So yes, I will talk about taking the stairs, but I'm always going to be aware of, and the beginning part of this podcast is really going to talk about, you know, appreciating the fact that, I mean, those of us who are able-bodied and can take the stairs, we're really fortunate to be able to do that. And those people who are differently abled, there are absolutely ways that we can include people who are differently abled without there being any grand differences. And I'll try to explain that as best I can with words that I heard and listened to and absorbed from other people while I was at that International Association of School Librarians Conference in Rome. So Professor Weston's first slide, he had some quotes. One from Maria Montessori. Her words are still so relevant today. And she said, peace can only be achieved through the education of the child. So that's the first thing on his slide. Absolutely, that is first and foremost, I believe, if he puts that first on his slide in everything that he does as a university professor. And then secondly, he sort of titles his presentation, or it's really a sentence, inclusion is a cultural achievement that must be pursued from childhood. Some reflections on how libraries can play a role in this task. And then I've got some notes here that I just jotted down as I listened to him. Let's see. Oh, this one. Inclusion is a magic word. When it exists, it vanishes. And that was said by Antonio Giuseppe Malafrina. And I will grab that and say it in Italian for you in a moment, because he is Italian and I do have that somewhere. So I will get back to that. But as I'm looking through these notes, I remember seeing this image of stairs that weren't stairs at all, but they had the same purpose. And if you can imagine in your mind a wave of a floor. So getting from a higher elevation to a lower elevation, and it's literally, it was the picture that I saw was a blue wave, but it was literally a wave. There were no stairs involved. But a wave allows people, and I think it was made out of like a hard plastic or something, allows everyone to get from a higher elevation to a lower elevation. And I'd never thought about that, but I saw it and wow, epiphany. So anybody can almost use those stairs. So think about that, right? Thinking out of the box. How can we make all of our spaces? We were clearly focused on making our library spaces available to all, open to all, to include all. But think about all of the spaces. And I'm remembering another photo in my head. I didn't take a photo of it, but there was this cathedral, right? Cathedrals are all over the place in Italy. And there was a platform for wheelchairs, and it was in the back of the cathedral. And some people, I don't know, government officials, people who run the cathedral, I'm not sure who it was, but they decided they were going to put the ramp at the front stairs instead to allow people in wheelchairs to enter at the front of the cathedral instead of at the back. And I'm thinking about some people in my life who this would make a huge difference to. And believe it or not, some people complained, how could you deface the building? How could you, this architectural grand piece of architecture, how could you change that by putting a ramp? But I really believe that those people just weren't thinking about others. Because if you truly think about others, there would be no problem with a ramp at the front entrance. And why shouldn't everyone be able to enter through the front door of a cathedral? Now that I've gathered myself, I'm going to share the quote from Antonio Giuseppe Malafarina, and I'm going to try to take a stab at it in Italiano. And he says, inclusione è una parola magica. Quando esiste, svanisce. So again, inclusion is a magic word. When it exists, it vanishes. So think about that for a second. It's a magic word, inclusion. When it's in existence, when it's reality, it vanishes. And so I also remember seeing a slide from Professor Paul Weston where it was a complete visual. I mean, it had some words on it too, but it was circles. There were large circles with different colored circles. And if you can try to picture in your mind what exclusion looks like, right? When certain people are excluded from the big circle. So different colors of circles, right? So try to get that in your mind. And then segregation, what does that look like? Well, now you've got two separate circles, and maybe those bigger circles, they're different sized, right? One is larger than the other, and you have different colors in each. Maybe the bigger circle has all one color, right? And the smaller circle, which is separate from that bigger one, completely separate, segregated, has all these other colors, right? And then there's integration, where you've got a big circle and colored circles inside. But within that big circle, you've got a smaller circle with colors inside of that smaller circle and integrated, but still kept separate, right, from the rest of the colors in that bigger circle. And then he had a picture of inclusione, where all of the little circles were within one simple big circle. So in an ideal world, right, that's the way our world looks if everyone is included, no matter what your everyone consists of, right? So think about what that means for you. But for me, this keynote by Professor Paul Weston was really, you know, like I said, epiphany. It was really life-changing. And I think that I've done a fairly good job, as I think about my library space. I remember when I first started at Rumsey Hall in 2010, and I looked at the stacks of books. They weren't ADA compliant. There wasn't enough room for a wheelchair to get between the stacks. And so I can't remember if it was after my first year or after my second year, they were putting in a new rug in the library. And, you know, they were suggested just going around the stacks. It's easier that way, right? But I insisted. I said, no, we're going to take everything out of here. We're going to do this right. We're actually going to get rid of one set of book stacks, book shelving, to open up the library a little bit. But we're also going to move the stacks apart so that these stacks will be ADA compliant, so that a wheelchair can fit amongst them. And I remember the person who was the head of facilities at the time was like, Val, who's going to move all those books? Because, right, that's, you got to get those books off of those stacks before you take down those bookshelves to get everything to empty out the library completely. And I just looked at him and I said, I'll do it if I have to. And I did, along with the people who put in the rug and also some of our maintenance. I mean, we all did it together. Was it fun? No. Was it worth it? Absolutely. And I remember it took us an entire week to get that rug put into the library. And my kids were really young at the time. And my parents took them up to Maine. And it was great. So they were having a blast up with family in Maine. And I could just work in the library every day that summer, or that for that week, and make sure that when we put those stacks back in, they were wide enough so that wheelchairs could go between the stacks. And it was actually better for everyone, that change. Yes, it took time. Yes, it was hard work. Yes, it wasn't fun, but it was better for everyone, because by getting rid of one of those stacks of books, it actually opened up for later years when I decided, oh, I think I want to put a makerspace in the library. And it gave us a little more space for that. So it was win-win for everyone. So try to rethink those spaces. Or if you have nothing to do with organizing spaces or buildings, you know, just think about when things are going on in your town, in your state, right? If something is happening that can make spaces a little bit better for everyone, go ahead and sign your name to a petition, write a letter to the editor, do whatever you can do, talk to other people to maybe enlighten them, do whatever you can do to make spaces available for everyone. I'd like to share a few more notes that I took while Professor Paul Gabriel Weston from Scuola Vaticana di Biblioteconomia during his keynote presentation. And he said, so these are all things that he said in his presentation, differently designed rooms where everyone can find access. Libraries need to be made and created with and for all users. We need to create barrier-free academic structures. Think about a path to be taken, not already taken. All diverse groups to grow side by side. Buildings must be refurbished. Collaboration is definitely needed. He also referred to Maria Montessori again and talked about books and fun and games. He talked about Italian sign language, LALIS. He talked about wordless books, right? That doesn't mean we're going to get rid of the books that have words in them as well. We have different ways to access them for differently abled people, right? Braille and audiobooks, right? Things like that. But he was also talking about wordless books. Each person reads their own words and hears their own language. Think about people that communicate in a completely different way from others. Maybe people think they can't communicate at all, but is that true? Or do they have their own way of communicating within their brains, right? And he talked about how large language models, the LLMs or AI, right? But these are technical terms for, so, and he said that LLMs, those large language models, can help with this. Adaptive readability features are needed. And I believe that he ended his presentation, and I can't remember who this was, and I'm going to reach out and ask for them to share their presentations with us, because I want to, I always like to give credit to where I get information. There was someone who on his door had just the words, "I care." And I care. Your person matters to me. I hope that, I try to care as much as I can about others. And I hope that you do too. So in the next part of this recording, I'll talk about taking physical stairs for those who are able. Those of you that know me know that I work out regularly. And so this morning, as I was doing, I'm in week 7, a cardio session of Bar Blend, and the instructor, Elise, was saying that she was paraphrasing Martin Luther King Jr.'s quote about taking the stairs. And that's what reminded me, I was going to record an episode about taking the stairs if you are able. And so then I looked up online, I just Googled it, right? And I found a couple different versions of this quote by Martin Luther King Jr. So I'll give you both of them. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And another version, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. So I think that's a good way to lead into this next part of this episode. Those of you that have traveled in Italy know that there are stairs basically almost everywhere. And so if you're planning to take a trip to Italy or probably anywhere to Europe or anywhere, right? Get yourself into stair stepping shape, because it really helps. When you take an escalator or an elevator, if they're around, it's not the same view. You don't have the same experience. But when you're able to, if you're able to walk and take the stairs, you will see so much more, especially if you're by yourself. And some people don't feel comfortable being by themselves, and it's certainly very fun to travel with family, friends. But I spend a lot of time by myself, and I made sure that I always took the stairs. And I would look up, down, straight, backwards, forward. I would listen, and what incredibly beautiful experiences I had because I took the stairs. So I'll focus mostly on my time in Cinque Terre, the five villages or the five lands on the western coast of Italy. And so my first full day on Sunday, I mentioned in another episode that I got a train card. So I hopped on the train and went from Monterosso to Rio Maggiore. And I got off the train and I found some stairs, and I just started walking up and up and up for hours, and through and over and down these pathways and around pathways. And I looked around and I stopped, and I would find benches or a rock or something to sit and just look and observe and smell and take in with all of my senses that I'm so fortunate to have, everything. I would see, gardens that looked beautiful, gardens that didn't look so beautiful, more like my gardens with weeds, and maybe they needed a little TLC. But they too, in their own way, right, are beautiful. I saw well-tended gardens. Somewhere later on, I found out, I was reading a map or something, and I was reading in English, that this is the organic area. And I thought to myself, no wonder why this food tastes so good, no matter what I ate. You know, just corner places didn't matter. The food is so fresh, not genetically modified in any way. And it really does taste different. And I should mention, if you're not aware of this, when you're walking around in Cinque Terre, you really do need to wear closed-toed shoes. I think there's some laws about that, and I'm a rule follower. So I made sure that I was always wearing closed-toed shoes. And yes, if some of you saw my pictures, I did take a picture of my ankles swollen to like 3 or 4 times their normal size. And it's because it was so hot. I'm in pretty good shape. I eat well. I drink lots of water, but it didn't matter. Even when I was pregnant with my 2 babies, I never experienced swelling like that. But it didn't hurt. It looked horrible. But, you know, I'd do the best I could. When at the end of a long day, I'd try to elevate my feet and they would be fine in the morning, but as soon as I started walking the next day. So, you know, if you're able, again, walk, 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 and take the stairs. So I walked through and up throughout Rio Maggiore on my own. I always made sure that I had water with me and snacks because I wasn't quite sure where I would end up. And I was almost to the top and it was really hot. I was very tired. So I found a nice quiet space under some trees and a rock, and I was drinking my water. I was just enjoying looking out, smelling, breathing, having one of my little snacks. And then all of a sudden, this could have been the first people that I saw the whole time that Sunday morning. A couple from Germany, they also spoke English. And they asked me if we were almost to the top. And I looked, you know, behind me and I said, well, I see a bridge up there. So I think we're almost to the top. Like maybe we could take that bridge somewhere, right? And so after, you know, sipping some water with them, we continued on. And it was very steep at this point. And we came to a gate, and there was a sign, and it was closed, and it was kind of locked up, but not with a lock, but rather with metal wire. So I wasn't sure if we were allowed to go or not. His Italian was much better than mine. Everybody's Italian is much better than mine. And he saw the word for pigs, and I'm not even sure, but that's a longer word. In any case, we kind of figured that the gate was to keep the pigs in or out. I don't know. So maybe it was okay for us to go through that gate as long as we locked it back up. And so that's what we did. So we went through, we made sure we locked it back up, and we walk quickly. Now we're underneath this bridge and we get to a bigger gate. And we're like, oh no. But you could go under the gate, and you kind of had to, like, you know, get on your belly to go under. And again, I'm pretty flexible and agile. So I was able to go under the gate, and the woman was pretty impressed. She's like, oh my gosh. And then she just like tried the latch, and guess what happened? The latch opened and the gate opened. And so she just walked through with her husband. It was really kind of funny. So then we had to walk up a little bit, and it's, again, it is high 90s. Don't think it was in the hundreds, but it was pretty dry. It was really hot. And we'd been walking for hours. So we got to walk up this really steep hill to get to the bridge. And then there's like, I don't know, there's more gates. And then we decided, you know what, let's walk down this path. And then we had to walk up another path. And so now we're like on the side of a road. So civilization, okay, we know we're in a good spot, or at least we're in civilization. And it didn't matter to me which way we went. I was just planning to go down. So the gentleman decides, let's go this way. I'm like, okay, great. You know, so we're all now at this point, the three of us are walking together. And I was pretty happy that I was walking with them because I wasn't sure where I was going. And it was hot. I still had water, but again, I wasn't sure where I would end up. So we walk for a ways, and then we end up getting to, oh, I know, it was this kind of small house, and the husband was walking quicker. Ah, mi marito. Yeah, I'm just thinking of Italian words. So he was ahead of the wife and me, and they get to this house, and she said, "Oh, I think that's the house that's for sale that we're looking into buying." And it wasn't very large, but I felt that at that point I could see a parking lot down below. And so I thought that it would be nice of me to say, "Hey, thanks for letting me walk for you and spend time with you for a little bit. But I think you need to stay, the two of you, to explore your possible new home." And so I said, I'm good and I'm on my way. And so that I continued to travel down. And then there was this river and a little, I don't know what it was, like a gatehouse or something. And so I sat for a while. I videoed some, I really wanted to capture the sound of the river. And I was thinking of my nephew and my brother and so many, my parents, so many times spent near rivers and those that fish. And I just kind of sat there, and it was a little bit shady for a while, again, to catch my breath and appreciate every moment. And then a short while after, the couple ended up saying, "Ah, you know, buongiorno," and they walked on by. And then I traveled down, and then I found out that I had walked so far that I walked to the next city north of Rio Maggiore, Manarola. And again, so when I got there, there were cobblestones, no stairs here. It was just sloped, beautiful. And again, I found a little bench to sit down against a little building. There was a water fountain where I was able to refill my water. I was in the shade. And then all of a sudden, these kids, they were on scooters, not motorized scooters, but regular old-fashioned foot-pumping scooters. And I would say the youngest one was probably 3, and the oldest was probably around 9, maybe 10. And those kids on that sloped, curving, cobblestoned walkway, they would go up to the top and they would fly down on their scooters. And it was so much fun to watch them. And I did that for a while. And an Italian man actually came up to me and asked me in Italian for some directions. And I was like, "Oh, you know, io sono americana, you know, non capisco italiano." So I couldn't give him directions. And he just kind of laughed and continued on his way. So I thought it was kind of cool that somebody asked me in Italian for directions, even though I couldn't help him. So that encouraged me to continue to practice my Italiano so that when I go back someday, I will be able to maybe give directions to people. So in any case, then I happened to look over at the place where I was sitting outside, and it said Nessendorma. And I knew that that was a sign, and this will be a different episode all about the restaurant called Nessendorma. This was the wine area or the wine store of Nessendorma, but I looked over and then I went inside and I inquired about whether or not they had cooking classes. And she said, "Yes, we have pesto classes." So by taking the stairs up through Rio Maggiore and then continuing and walking further and then taking lots and lots and lots of stairs down and pathways down, I ended up in Manarola. And I always like to think that the librarian goddesses are with me no matter where I am. They were working their magic. I saw Nessendorma, the wine store. I went inside, and then I ended up signing up for a pesto cooking class the next day. And then, so after I took my break, and then I continued to walk throughout Manarola, again through more stairs and more winding narrow pathways, and then made my way. Ooh, I remember I was walking, and I ran into a family, actually. And ooh, my days may be combining. This may be the next day. I think it was actually. But again, by taking the stairs and wandering, and I was by myself, but then a family comes by and I heard they mentioned Nessun Dorma. And so I said, you know, I moved over on the bench to the very edge and I said, you know, please sit. They had young kids with them and the woman was carrying in a backpack a baby. So for sure, they definitely needed to rest. And I said, oh, you know, I heard you mention Nessun Dorma. And they also spoke English. And they said, I said, did you go to the cooking class? They said, we did. And they gave me great information. They said, get there, because I went to the one, I was signed up for the 1:30 class. They said, get there a half hour early because people queue up. So I'm not going to tell you much more about that. You'll have to listen to my Nessun Dorma pesto cooking class, and I'll tell you more about that. But the point is that by taking the stairs, if I hadn't and hadn't been wandering through, I would not have met that wonderful family who I gave some bookmarks to because I always carry with bookmarks. And because I'm always asking if people read to their kids, if they love books, encourage them. But I wouldn't have found out that important information had I not been taking the stairs and walking. So the last place I'll talk about in this episode is Cornelia. This is one of Cinque Terre villages, one of the five villages. And each village is different. And each one has a different sort of archway to walk through or walkway, covered walkway that gets you from the train to the main part of the village. But Cornelia is so different. You got to walk out in the heat. And it was really hot. And I believe it was Tuesday. Yes, it was when I spent time in Cornelia. And one of the first things you notice as you walk towards the main part of the village is, at least when I was there, is I heard accordion music. And you know how certain senses will bring you right back to a place in time, right? Our sense of smell. Whenever I smell lilies of the valley, I always think of my house in Fairfield where I first grew up, because there were lilies of the valley that grew outside of that house. And even though I was 6 years old, I think I was seven when I moved to Bethlehem. I remember that smell of lilies of the valley, and throughout my life, whenever I've smelled that, it brings me right back there. So, but another one of our senses, right, that will bring us right back to someplace in time is our hearing, right? And so the accordion, my dad used to play the accordion. And so, oh my gosh. And there were stairs. And I walk these stairs and I'm going towards this man, this accordion player, this Italian man, and I get to him and hear the music. And of course, I had to stop and listen. And I gave him some euros because that's how he makes his livelihood, or a little bit of extra money, whatever. I took a little video of him. I shared it with my dad. And the stairs in Cornelia, there's so many of them. I'm sure someone has counted them and it's probably written somewhere, but there's so many of them. And with each next like level of stairs, the view is incredible. So take the stairs and walk up and up and up. And then when I got finally to the top of the stairs, and of course, it takes me forever to walk the stairs because I stop and I look around and I rest and I drink my water and just take in every single view that I can and smell and sound, and I would continue. And so first I went to the right when I get to the top, and then I ended up doing a little loop and I was like, I'm not really, and I could have just looked at a map, right? But I like to just explore and see where stairs will take me. And then I said, I have a feeling I need to go like over towards the left, right? Maybe a little bit north. And then I saw a sign. And I remembered when I was in Rome, one of my librarian friends was telling me about some places to make sure that I went to, some water where I could swim. And this day I was in search of water. So I was wearing, you know, just a cover up, but I had my bathing suit on and I was in search of water on this day. And I found there was some kind of sound or a sign, and I knew there was going to be water. And oh my gosh, I had to walk up and then I had to walk down and through. And I remember there was a little cafe and it wasn't very big. But I walked in and I thought, oh, this will be a great place to have una cappuccino. And they were completely, even though it was a little bit busy, they were completely fine with me. Una persona, one person, solo, right? Sola, by myself. They were completely fine giving me a table. Whenever I could do this and I could enjoy a cappuccino, and I would sit down and I would write down my thoughts in my journal, and I could look out over the water, kind of look at other people around me, kind of wonder what their stories are. Were they newlyweds? Were they long married? Just a bunch of friends? Look at this family. It was really kind of fun, but I didn't overstay my welcome. I finished my writing. There were more people coming in. It was getting closer to lunchtime. So I was aware of the fact that I'm sure people that were going to have lunch would be using my table soon. So then I continued to take these stairs carefully. And that's the other thing, right? The stairs are very uneven, made of stone, cobblestone, rocks, right? So you always have to be very careful. Especially, I was traveling solo and I'd been walking for hours. So if I wasn't being careful and I fell because I was not paying attention or something, I wouldn't want to make anyone else have to help me get to somewhere else. So I continue to follow these stairs. And then I see I'm on the cliffs and I see this area where there's lots of people and really huge rocks. And the waves on this day were crashing like crazy. So it was kind of dangerous. And again, I'm by myself, but there were people around, not a lot. Couples, friends, young people, older people. There was this older Italian man who was kind of tucked off in this little carved out area, kind of like in the rocks almost, where there were boats and things like that. And, you know, well-weathered man with a very long gray beard and scraggly gray hair and kind of yelling out in Italian every once in a while. And I think he was just, I don't know, maybe the unofficial lifeguard. There were no lifeguards, but there were some people that went out onto these other rocks and he kind of went out there and sort of yelled at them and told them to come back in. I wasn't going to go there because, again, I was nervous. The waves were really big, but I did feel comfortable going out to the cement slab area. So I walked down there and the waves would crash over it. And so I just kind of sat down and I watched other people do this for a while to kind of see like what the waves were doing. I didn't want to get swept off into the water by the waves. So I was really careful. But I did want to get wet completely. And so first I was just standing there and the waves would come and crash over me. And then I would kind of inch my way down a little bit and I just sat there for a while and the waves would just come and crash over me. And I could taste that salt and I could feel the water and the salt on my skin. And I just wanted to remember every moment, and I'm reliving it again. And it was weeks ago. So I think I did a pretty good job. And then I would occasionally talk to some other people and this other couple and kind of tell them, well, careful about putting your towel there because the waves will come up there. And I just sat there as long as I could. And I'm thinking I traveled as light as I could, but I did have a little satchel or a sack of new shoes that I had bought someplace. The stairs had taken me in Cornelia. And I think the place was called, it's on my shoes, La Napo. And they're bright pink and they're wedge shoes, open-toed though. And oh my gosh, that was like one of my only splurges. And again, in another episode where I have some, you know, don't take the taxis, take public transportation. But I told my husband, because I'd call him each night, and I told him that night, I said, by the way, you purchased the one and only Christmas gift that I would like. I mean, they weren't that expensive, but they were more expensive than what I would usually spend on shoes. And every time I wear them, I will think of this special place, Cornelia, and all of Cinque Terre, and all of Italia, actually. And the fact that the stairs had led me to that wonderful shoe store. So I encourage you to take the stairs whenever you can, if you are able. Find other ways. If you cannot take the stairs to get to where you need to go, if you're someone who is fully able-bodied like me, do what you can to make the path navigable for people who are differently abled. Think about the world in different ways. And thank you for listening to the Meanderings of a Librarian.